Bingo, a little wish list that had 200, quote, pew Bibles. And it was just awesome. And he's like, dude, you got it. I'm buying Bibles. And so pretty soon we'll have Bibles in the chairs there. And if you don't have a Bible, that'll be a gift to you that you can use. Maybe you're opening your phone up today, but the book of Jonah is where we are. When I was in like first grade, somebody came up with a great game on the playground. I don't know who it was, but I sure am thankful for this guy because it was this chasing game with the girls. And you can maybe see where this is going, but really the girls, it was this awesome deal where the girls were it, you know, and like we were running, or maybe we were it, I don't know how that works, but we're running, and if they catch us, like they have to kiss us. You guys remember this? Anybody play this game on the playground, first grade? And so, so here's the deal. Like, you find the cutest girls in class, right? And say, hey, do you want to play this game? And you can't catch us. No, you're not going to be able to catch us. We're faster than you, you know. There's no way you get, and you just rub it in, you know, and you kind of build the hype. You're not going to be able to catch us. And then you run about two-thirds speed, you know. You know, good luck catching me, you know. And unfortunately, they caught on pretty soon, you know, and they realized, oh, we're not, you know, the guys aren't running full steam ahead, you know, they're not running as fast as they could. And so, unfortunately, I don't have like this great story of, you know, kissing 20 girls in first grade because they caught me because I was running slowly, you know, but I was running from them, but I wasn't really running from them. You know what I mean? Like I was running, but I was actually running hoping that they would catch me, you know? Like I'm running, but I'm not running as fast as I can, and I'm looking back, and I'm kind of like almost, you know, sometimes like I come around a tree, and I'm acting like I'm stumbling over the roots, you know? Just hoping they'll catch me, because if you catch me, you got to kiss me, right? Or, you know, if we catch you, we're going to kiss you, you know? And anyways, it never really panned out the way we had planned, but it sure was a great game. And here we come now to the story of Jonah. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Jonah, but this guy was running. Let me just tell you the story of chapter 1. Chapter 1, God says to Jonah, go to that great city of Nineveh and call out against her. This was kind of a big deal because when God sent Jonah out of Nineveh, it was like this first time that a missionary left Israel to go and speak to another people other than God's chosen people, Israel. It was kind of groundbreaking, if you will. God had already given his promise to Abraham, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we knew that God's heart was to bless all peoples, but we didn't exactly know what God's plan was going to be to bless all peoples. And so now God begins to unfold his perfect plan, and the first missionary sent out of Israel is Jonah. And he calls to Jonah and he says, Jonah, go to that great city, Nineveh. Nineveh, modern-day Iraq, the city of Nineveh had about 130,000 people, and it was just commerce and trade, and it was hopping. And God was calling Jonah to go to that call to call out against her, to preach God's grace to Nineveh, to call Nineveh to turn back to God, and maybe to turn to God for the first time. And that was what God told Jonah to do. And Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah had some issues going on in his heart. And as what we'll see as the story unfolds, what we see is that Jonah had a kind of a self-righteousness going on in his heart. He had a prejudice and racism going on in his heart where he thought by being Israel, he was God's chosen people, and God's love didn't need to extend to people that weren't like him. That God's love didn't need to extend to other people. And so Jonah goes down to Joppa and he gets a ticket away from Nineveh, headed to Tarshish, a place called Tarshish. So just imagine God's called us to go to North Carolina and we get on the plane and head to California. That's what it's like, all right? Head to North Carolina, God says, and we just start heading in the opposite direction. And so as the story unfolds, Jonah gets on this boat to head to Tarshish away from what God had said. And the scripture says that he was seeking to get away from the presence of the Lord. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we may think that God asks us to do things that we don't want to do. But when we don't want to do things that God's asked us to do, really we just don't want to be close to God. It's not really a matter of not wanting to do something. It's really a matter of relationship. And that was clear in the story of Jonah. Jonah's trying to get away from the presence of God. He's trying to run away from the presence. So he gets on this boat, heads to Tarshish, and immediately God sends a storm. And this storm is intense. It's so intense that it starts freaking the mariners, the sailors, out. And the boat is just crashing back and forth. Now, the guys on this boat, like, that was their job. They sailed these boats, so they knew what it was like to be out in a storm, right? And so here they are, but this storm was, like, supernatural. This storm was unlike anything that they had faced before, and we see that by how they were freaking out. They started freaking out and throwing cargo over the ship, and the scripture says in Jonah chapter 1 that all the mariners started to pray to their God, and it wasn't the God of Israel, it wasn't the God of the Bible, it wasn't the God maker of earth. It was kind of their own gods, their idols, if you will. False gods. And they're all praying to their false gods. And Jonah is down asleep in the bottom of the boat. And so the chief goes down and he's like, Jonah, what are you doing? Wake up, call out to your God. Maybe he'll stop this storm. And so they're like, who are you? Where are you from? And so Jonah's like, I'm a Hebrew. I'm part of the people of Israel. And my God is the God, the maker of the universe, the God of Israel. That's who my God is. And they said, call out to your God. And Jonah was like, look, the only way this is going to work for you is if you throw me overboard. You throw me overboard, the storm will stop. It's because of me. I'm running from God. And the guys were like, no way, we're not going to throw you overboard. So they start rowing harder. They start rowing harder, rowing harder, rowing harder. And this storm is so intense that these guys cannot escape the storm. The boat is just being tossed about. The scripture says that the boat was almost about to break. It's like, that's how intense this storm was. So here they are. The boat's crashing. Jonah's like, I'm the reason. Throw me overboard. They don't throw him overboard. And then finally they say, okay, we're going to throw you overboard. And then they speak to Jonah's God. And they say, don't hold us accountable for this, God. We're going to throw him overboard. They throw him over in the middle of the sea, and immediately the storm stops. Immediately the storm stops. And these mariners know then, like in a moment, they become not a follower of the God of Israel to becoming a follower of the God of Israel. I love that because maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you kind of have like your own God. Maybe it's the God of your own desire, the God of your own imagination. But in a moment, you can see that the true God loves you. The God who made you loves you. And you can turn to him in a moment. That's what these sailors on the boat did. They turned to the God who made them on the boat. And then as chapter 1 closes up, we see that God appointed a whale, a fish, a gigantic fish to swallow up Jonah. And we learned I just want to give you kind of rapid fire through this story. And the first idea is just simply this. And the notes aren't on the screen today. So if you're taking notes, just listen doubly close. And this is it. It's not wise to run from God. Indeed, it's impossible. It's not wise to run from God. Indeed, it's impossible. And we see this in the opening verses. So just read this with me. We'll read verses 1 and following. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Do you see it there? He's not just trying to escape what God was telling him to do. He's trying to escape God himself. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone into the inner part of the ship and had laid down, was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. So here it is. It's not wise to run from God. Why? because God disciplines Jonah in his love with a great storm. And God's discipline on Jonah impacted other people. Whenever we seek to run from God, there'll always be consequences. There'll always be real life consequences. It'll never go the way we thought it would go. We'll always end up in a place of regret if we try to run from God. Now, for some of you this morning, this thought that God chases Jonah down may actually be really comforting to you. Maybe you're not yet a Christian. Maybe you would consider yourself almost a Christian. Maybe you're investing in the claims of Jesus. But in your story and in your journey, everybody's let you down. Everybody's left you. Nobody's followed through. Your whole story and your whole journey is just about people letting you down. And this story of Jonah says a different word to you about who God is. In that God will never leave you. Indeed, you cannot escape his presence. And you had people maybe in your life that, man, you were relying on being there for you and they weren't there. Well, here's the truth and the reality. If you're almost a Christian or maybe a brand new Christian and you're just trying to figure out, man, what is God really like? God is so good that he'll never leave you. And other people in this world, they'll leave you. So maybe you'll be comforted this morning to think about this truth that Jonah, he was trying to run from God, but God loved him so much, he was like, I'm not going to let you run from me. I'm not going to let you run from me. Or maybe you find yourself here this morning and you would consider yourself maybe a seasoned Christian. Maybe you've walked with God for a long time. And rather than being comforted by this story of Jonah, you really ought to be sobered. You ought to like hear a warning in your heart and in your soul of, oh man, if I run from God, he disciplines me in his love like that. If I run from God, this is not going to go well for me. If I try to run from God, not only is it not going to go well for me, but it's not going to go well for those around me. Here's the thing that we often kind of fall into believing is this idea, is that we can kind of make these individual choices to run from God and it only impacts us. That's not true. When you run from God, it impacts everybody that's around you, that loves you, that cares about you. It impacts them too. Over the last several weeks, I've just met with person after person after person after person that has a broken heart because of people in their life that have run from God, they've strayed from God. Literally dozens of people are in this place today because someone that they love is walking down a destructive path and they can't see it and they won't wake up to it. In the pain that it causes other people. That's what was going on with these mariners. It's like these guys knew how to navigate a storm. It was their job, right? It's like they know how to do it. You know what I mean? And yet here's a storm that they can't shake. They're trying to row to the side and they can't do it. They're throwing cargo over. And they were so desperate that they threw Jonah overboard. They're like, God, don't hold this against us. They threw Jonah overboard. And so maybe this morning you're almost a Christian and you're comforted by this idea that God will never leave you. And if you try to stray from him, he'll pursue you with his love. But maybe you're here this morning and you've just kind of been wandering away from God. Maybe you've been trying to run away from God. I think we're all like this in some ways, aren't we? So running away from God and things. He gives us things to do. Years ago, we were ministering here in Clarksville, Tennessee, and the Lord called us to New York City. And there's a lot of people in Clarksville felt about New York the way Jonah felt about Nineveh. I had one pastor, not tell you the truth, I had one pastor tell me, Freddie G, he said, I'd be okay if New York and California just fell right off the map. He was a big dude, you know. I didn't laugh. But he was laughing. And so God called us to sell all that we had and move to New York City and be church planters in there. And I remember telling my nephew at the time, I said, you know, when we were telling him what God was calling us to do, I said, you know the story of Jonah. And God called him to go to Nineveh. You know what happened? He said, yeah, he didn't go. Yeah, and like storm and then the whale and like all the, you know, like all this stuff. And I said, well, God's called Uncle Freddie T to go to New York. And you know what he said? He said, well, you're going to go, aren't you? Just like that. Well, you're going to go, aren't you? God said go. You're going to go, aren't you? You know? And so that beautiful, I mean, he wasn't even a teenager at the time, but that beautiful childlike heart, we need to recover some of that in our own life, don't we? You know, we've gotten too sophisticated for God, too smart for God, and we've lost a little bit of that childlike faith that when God says something, we do it. When God says it, we do it. And so maybe last week when we preached on baptism, maybe God told you to be baptized. And maybe you're like, I don't know. Here's the good deal. Maybe you didn't come prepared this morning. We got clothes for you. We're going to baptize. That's what's rocking over here. We got two brave souls that are ready to proclaim their faith in Jesus. So maybe God's been telling you for years you need to be baptized, and you just kind of been, you know, putting it off, praying about it, considering it, you know. When God speaks, we obey. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you've just been burned by church. And you're like, man, it takes all the courage I've got just to come in this place this morning. Because here I am. And maybe you're afraid that people are going to ask you to serve, and people are going to ask you to do this, and people are going to ask you to do that, and you're going to find yourself in that awkward place again where you're just not ready, and you feel like the very thing, church, that's supposed to take your burdens away has put burdens on you. Can I just say to you, this is a safe place for you to heal. This is a safe place that if you're coming from an environment where you're spent, you're burned out, you're wounded, you can just sit there and soak up God's word and allow the Spirit of God to heal your heart. You're free to do that here. And in just the right time, when God's ready and he speaks to your heart to step out and to start serving, man, there'll be a place for you to serve. Maybe you don't need to rush in like normal. Maybe that's what God is actually saying to you is be still. Quit doing and just be. Say no. I'm not calling you to do anything. I'm just calling you to be and heal and let my love wash over you. I'm not calling you to be this superwoman, this superman. I'm just calling you to listen. To listen to my love spoken over your life. There's all kinds of things we can try to run from. All kinds of things we can try to run from God in. It might be, maybe it's the whole giving situation. Maybe you're of that camp where, like, all you feel like is the church is just after your money. Can I just tell you, this church is not after your money? Can I tell you, this church doesn't need your money? It's not because we're rolling in it. It's because God is our provider. So we look to God and say, God, you provide for your church. This is your church. You provide for it. It's not ours. We're not going to carry that burden. But here's the reality. More than this church needing your money, God actually wants you to become generous. In the whole thing of giving, that's what's going on there. Is that God wants to grow you in your faith so that you can trust God with that ever so difficult thing to trust him with your money. So the giving moment isn't about this church receiving. It's about you growing. And it's about you becoming more and more generous. And it's about you stepping out in places of faith that you've never stepped into before. And so maybe you find yourself like Jonah, where you're like, I'm not. We're not giving for a year. We're like, we're not doing it. We're just not going to do it. But if God says do it, do it. Right? If God says do it, do it. Can I tell you a really uncomfortable thing God led me to do? I don't even like telling this because it's like, in a former church, I had a really great assistant pastor, phenomenal preacher, and I'd let him preach every now and then. And I wasn't there one day when he preached, and I'm listening to the sermon on the podcast, and as I'm sitting in the car listening to his sermon, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to double your tithe this year. I was so mad. I was, you guys. I was so mad because I didn't want to. Who wants to do that? I mean, really? Like, anybody want to sign up for that today? You know, it's like, who wants to do that? And it was inescapable that God was saying that to my heart, and so we did. And you know what? Like, I don't have like a glory story out of that. I really don't. Like, I don't have a glory story of what God did that year, and oh my gosh, it was amazing. I just think God was testing my faith. I just think God wanted to know, are you devoted to me? Will you obey me when I call you to do something hard? And maybe that's where you are. Maybe it's not baptism. Maybe it's not giving. Maybe it's just that hidden place of obedience and God's calling you to obey him in something and you're just running. You're just running. You know what's cool? Is that most of us, when we're running from God, it's kind of like that story that I described to you about me running from the girls. We really want to be caught. We really want God to step in with his love and his grace and to catch us and to free us from our rebellion. I mean, some of us are walking down a pathway running from God that we're deceived and we're walking in it, but we're so desperate that God will somehow rescue us out of that journey in rebellion. It's like we're running, but we really want to be caught. Well, the Lord is here today to catch you. He's here today to catch you. We see this as we read through the story. Let me just kind of expound on this point just for a moment. It's not wise to run from God. Indeed, it's impossible. We see that. Jonah takes off for Tarshish, but God was there the whole time. God was there. We do a lot of things in secret that we think are in secret, but there's nothing secret from God. And so there's never a moment that you're looking at pornography that God is not there. There's never a moment that you're tempted to cheat on your spouse that God is not there. There's never a moment that you're seeking to lie to a parent or lie to a boss that God is not there. We cannot escape the presence of God. He's everywhere. And that's what God wants to teach us through the book of Jonah. It's not wise to run from God. Indeed, it's impossible. Don't try. In that moment when you think nobody knows, God knows. God knows. But you know what? He loves you. He loves you. And just like Jonah, he wants to give you a second chance. Just like Jonah, he wants to show you his grace. Just like Jonah, he wants to lavish his love upon you. Just like Jonah, God has great purpose for your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing this story about Jonah being a missionary, and maybe God has spoken to your heart about being a missionary or a pastor or being in full-time vocational ministry. Don't run from that if that's what God's calling you to. Don't run from that. You may try to run from that, but you're going to experience like some really discomfort. A storm of God's discipline, his loving discipline, is going to come upon you, and the storm's not going to be pleasant. If you want to know how unpleasant like it ends up, like read chapter 2 where Jonah ends up in the belly of the fish. And then just try to picture. That's next week. So come next week and get that. It's going to be good. Look at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. When I was a kid, I always heard the story of Jonah. And I always thought that the lesson of Jonah was, don't run from God, you'll get swallowed by a big fish. You know, and but really, when you really dig into this story, what you understand is what the sermon title of this series is, that whale's name was Grace. You think about it with me just for a moment. Has anybody ever watched Storm Stories on the Weather Channel? Storm Stories? Anybody? All right, Netflix, Google it. It's got to be out there. You know, Susan and I, one night, we were watching this Storm Story deal where this guy, he was in like a kayak out on the coast of Hawaii. And, you know, and he's getting out there. And he gets out there a little too far. And before you know it, it's like the tide's taking him out further and out further and out further. And he cannot row back. And he's getting out there further and further and further. And he's like 20 miles, 40 miles off of the coast of Hawaii. He's out in the middle of nowhere. Well, Jonah, when they throw him overboard, he's out in the middle of the ocean. And I mean, I don't know what the Guinness Book of World Records for like treading water is, you know. But I imagine Jonah was going to give it a shot that day. Because he's in the ocean and he doesn't have a life preserver and there's not like a little boat coming along and there's no little island there. That's not in the story here. He's out in the middle of the ocean. He's going to die. But God loves Jonah. And God loves us. And God saved Jonah's life by swallowing him with this whale. That's why we call the whale's name grace, is because even though Jonah was running away from God, God sends a storm to lovingly discipline him. He gets thrown over, and then God steps in with the whale named grace. He swallows Jonah to say, Jonah, I'm not done with you. Jonah, I love you. I've got purpose for you. And so this is good news. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. That's not coincidence. The whole story of Scripture testifies to Jesus. After Jesus has risen from the dead, he's with his disciples, and he opens up the Old Testament Scriptures, and he shows them how all the Old Testament Scriptures testifies to him. It all points to Jesus. And here the story of Jonah is pointing to Jesus. This whale, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and we'll read in a couple of weeks how the whale spits him up out on shore after 3 days in the belly of the fish. Jesus came from the glory of heaven and died in our place to show us that God loves us. He was buried, and he was in the tomb for 3 days, and God raised him from the dead by his power. He raises him from the dead so that we could be saved, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could have a relationship with God. Do you see that? Do you see that? So even Jonah was talking about what Jesus would come and do. Even Jonah was pointing to Jesus. And so maybe you're here this morning, you're like, man, I've blown it. You're like, Pastor, I've been running from God in every area of my life. You just rattled off a couple, but I got about 15 more. You know, God wants to swallow you with his grace today. He just wants to wrap you around with his grace. He wants to rescue with his grace. Sometimes his discipline is painful, but it's motivated in love. And he wants to rescue you in his grace. He wants you to know you're loved. He has purpose for you. He's not done with you. You're not on the sidelines. He's got something special for you. So would you receive his grace? Maybe you're here and you've never received the grace of God. Maybe you've just been kind of running and trying to impress God and trying to obey God, and you know you're messing it up, and you know it's not happening. You know something's off. Just receive God's grace where he loves you even though you don't deserve it. Jesus died for you to show you how much he loves you. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. One of the last little pieces that I think is just awesome, we see in verses 11 through 16. Jump back and look at, read verses 11 through 16 with me. The worship team's going to come and help us close this out before we prepare for baptism. But verse 11 through 16, then they said to him, what shall we do to you? So the sailors are talking to Jonah, that the sea may quiet down for us. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I want you to see those all caps there. They just got converted in the story. Do you see that? When you go back up, they're telling Jonah, call out to the God. It's like a God they don't know. It's a lowercase God. They're saying, we all have our gods. Jonah, call out to your God. The God, the unknown God. But here, they get it. The God who made them is the God who's controlling that storm. And they see the power of God. In a moment, their hearts are converted. So now they're calling that all caps there is the personal name for God. Whenever you read through the scripture, sometimes you'll see Lord, L, capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. But when you see all caps Lord, that's the personal name for God, the covenant name for his people Israel, that they had this bound relationship with God their Father that could not be broken. And so in this moment, these sailors, they call out to this to the God of Israel, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. They become believers, and they start worshiping the Lord immediately. Isn't this amazing? That God trumps Jonah's disobedience. That God overrides Jonah's disobedience. That despite Jonah's rebellion, God is about redemption. And so though Jonah is running away from God, God says, I love people so much that Jonah, wherever you try to run to, I'm going to save some people that are around you. Jonah, I'm so destined to use you. I'm going to use you in your disobedience, and I'm going to use you in your obedience. Do you hear that? God's not going to let you go, friend. You can't run from God and his purposes.
Straight into come to the altar, is he,
if he set his love upon you, you can keep running, but you're on a treadmill. Okay. You're not going anywhere.
Send me some pack.
Everywhere you go, there he is. And this is mind-blowing to me, that even in the midst of Jonah's disobedience, maybe you've had a pastor in your path who fell in immoral failure or something like that, and your mind was just wrecked of like, how could God have used that going on and good things be happening? Well, look at the story of Jonah. God can do anything.
For the song, correct?
And God can use anybody, anytime to fulfill his purposes.
So you're going to transition from this path to trap.
And so here's Jonah. He's trying to run away from God. Okay. And God says, well, I'll just save some of those sailors on the ship. Isn't that beautiful? That's how gracious God is. God wants our neighbors to know him. God wants our coworkers to know him. God wants those dudes that you're partying with on Friday night to know him. He's a good God. So what are you running from? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ready for baptism. We've got an extra change of clothes. We've got all the towels you could ever want. And if God has spoken to your heart about being baptized, we want to invite you to be baptized today. Don't run from God. Run to him. We'll celebrate. I'm going to stand right over here in front of the baptism during this song. And if you need to be baptized today, would you just come forward and talk to me right over here? Maybe God is speaking to your heart about just an issue that you're running from. I mean, you just want somebody to pray with. You just want somebody to pray with. Our prayer stations are in the back. The folks would love to pray with you about any burden that you're carrying. The Lord is in this place. Let's not run from his love, but let's rest in it. Would you pray with me, Father?